making things and making mechanisms work. He got a partial scholarship to Lehigh University and went into their electrical engineering program. On campus, he met Sylvia Goldman, who was in the teacher's college. She was from Media, Pennsylvania. Sylvia was attractive, buxom, with flashing dark eyes. Harry felt flabbergasted that she was interested in him. For her part, Sylvia saw in Harry a steady, dependable man who could be led rather easily. He had this funny hair that flew every which way at the slightest breeze, but that wasn't bad-looking, and he was doggedly determined to do well in class and get a rock-solid job after graduation. He was quiet and so shy he wouldn't get fresh with her, so after a few dates, she got fresh with him. After nearly a year of dating, they moved into a tiny studio apartment together. Harry married Sylvia in a simple civil ceremony in Bethlehem City Hall. Neither her parents nor his saw fit to attend the wedding. Both families were infuriated by their marriage. Sylvia's mother feared that this goy boyfriend of hers had gotten her pregnant. Harry's father asked him why, when there were so many fish in the sea, he wanted to settle so soon for just one of them. As graduation neared, Harry was recruited by a firm in California, Anson Aerospace Corporation. The company was developing lasers, and Harry had worked summers in the university's laser lab to make enough money to support himself and his bride. With their diplomas in their hands, they moved to Pasadena, leaving their disapproving parents thousands of miles behind them. Sylvia got part-time work as a substitute teacher, while Harry threw himself into his job as a laser technician. Anson Aerospace was a happy haven for the young engineer. All his life he had been an oddball, a nerd, a quiet, studious boy who preferred reading books to teenage pranks, shy with girls, and respectful to adults. At Anson, Harry was surrounded by people just like him. Geek heaven. There was a pecking order, of course. Scientists were above engineers, even though the engineers told each other that a physicist should never be allowed to touch any of the equipment in the lab. "It's easy to make a laser that's idiot-proof," the head of Anson's safety department told Harry. "Making it PhD-proof is just about impossible. Those guys think they're brilliant, see? They poke into the lab and fiddle with this and twiddle with that until they either give themselves a 10,000-volt shock or burn the place down." Harry knew he was not brilliant, but he worked hard and steadily. Long hours and little recognition, yet he loved it. Loved the technical challenges. Loved the camaraderie that slowly developed among his fellow engineers. Loved the bowling league he helped to organize. Even loved the physicists who unconsciously lorded it over them as if it was their right to look down on the guys who got their hands dirty. Indeed, Harry was not brilliant, but he was dependable. He got the job done, no matter how difficult it was, no matter how long or hard he had to work at it. Quiet and steady as he was, gradually he was recognized by his supervisors, even by the scientists who ran the lab. To his own surprise, Harry got salary raises almost every year. Small ones, but he didn't complain. Sylvia did. They had two daughters now and a sizable mortgage on their home. She felt Harry wasn't aggressive enough about his salary. "You should be getting more," she would say. "Gina Sibelski's husband hasn't been with the company half as long as you have, and he makes twice as much." "Sibelski's in the legal department," Harry would counter. "Different pay scale." Logic did not move Sylvia. "You're dull, Harry."